Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Lord our God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Let us hear your promise in this scripture, and let the world know your blessing in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Exodus 19, 1 through 9, found on page 81 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Please read with me. It's on the screen. On the third day, new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine. But you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, in order that the people may hear when I speak with you, and so trust you ever after."
I'm perpetually on the edge of getting myself in very serious trouble around here, including this morning when I was like scooting into worship at the very last moment because Contemporary Issues was stimulating enough that at least a few of us were continuing the conversation after the end of class before robing up time and running into worship. I'm sort of perpetually in danger of getting myself into really serious trouble because Contemporary Issues, among other things, is talking about at least a couple of those topics that you're not supposed to talk about in polite company. You know what the topics are, right? Money and politics and religion. And we're definitely talking about money in Contemporary Issues. We are talking about politics, although I try to sort of really artfully dodge that and completely fail all the time. And religion is kind of what we do here. So this is like the one place in polite company where you're sort of allowed to talk about religion, although the less religiously you do that, the better, right? We say these are not topics for polite company because that's why we want to avoid them. We want to avoid these topics because they disrupt the ways that we could otherwise enjoy pleasant, polite time with each other. And to be sure, it is really challenging to talk about these topics respectfully and constructively with each other. It's hard, especially lately, I think, but not only lately, because our differences around these topics go deep into our values. Our differences around these topics are ways that we express some of the values that we hold most dear. And these differences around money and politics and even religion, they go deep in many churches, including ours. And I want to say that I really value our congregation's differences across some of these topics. I think these are differences that don't have to divide us. I think these are differences that can enrich us as we live this life of faith together. and I care about those differences. I don't want to set them off to the side. I want to recognize them and know that they're there. But like I said, I have a tendency to step in it. I have a tendency to step in it because I believe that our values really matter. I believe that the values that we bring to particular practical questions of money and politics and, yes, religion, I believe that the values we bring to those point to something very deep in our relationship with God. And what I really care about here is our relationship with God in the ways that all of these different values and ideas express themselves in that relationship. Now, all of this is on my mind not because I got tied up and barely made it into worship this morning, although that's also true. These topics are on my mind because our scripture reading today happens at the mountain where God gives the law. We've been hearing these covenant promises that God makes to God's people. And last week, the people of Israel ran away from Egypt. They escaped slavery, and now they are out in the desert. And here, at this mountain, God gives them specific content for this covenant that God has made with them. That is, today's reading is all about who God's covenant people are. In the part that we just read together, God names the people as God's treasured possession, a priestly kingdom, a holy nation. God gives the people an identity. And that identity comes in the form of a law. God cares about how we treat each other and how we treat all the rest of the world. Our identity is to bless the world in God's name. And that's why the first thing God gives the people after, you know, bread and water is a law, is those Ten Commandments. We're actually going to skip the reading of the Ten Commandments themselves because we spent four Sundays with those in the summer. But we're going to read we just read what happens right before the Ten Commandments, and then I will read what happens right after the Ten Commandments are handed down. In chapter 19, the people were all gathered together, and God said to Moses, "Hey, I'm going to come descend in a cloud, and the people will hear, and they'll be very impressed." And then chapter 19 continues with all sorts of boundaries and restrictions over how close the people are allowed to get to the presence of God on this mountain. These boundaries and restrictions are there in order to protect God's sanctity and in order to prevent the people from getting themselves killed. This is why, by the way, we seat the elders right up here in the very front row, so that just in case God shows up, God will get to them first. So if one of them disappears, brace yourselves. William, keep a close eye on him too. Now, chapter 20 begins with the Ten Commandments, and we love those, and they're lovely. But then right after, "Do not covet your neighbor's," all of this various list of things, the people respond like this. This is beginning at chapter 20, verse 18. "When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin.' Then the people stood at a distance like good Presbyterians while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." This is the word of the Lord. You did it wrong. I said, "This is the word of the Lord," and you said, "Thanks be to God." And the proper response to "this is the word of the Lord" is, uh-oh, right? The proper response to the word of the Lord is to hide from it because it is too much. The people want to hide, they tremble, they run away, they want Moses to go take care of us, they want no part of it, which tells us that something big happens on this mountain. Something very big is happening there on this mountain. counselors and teachers and parents, you all know that the truth, when it comes out, generates a giant reaction, right? And that reaction can be a huge cloud of smoke, thunder, and trumpets kind of eruption, and it could be a fearful shutting off and trying to get away from that truth. But we know that the truth generates some huge reaction in us. And the deeper the truth, the bigger and more defensive that reaction is going to be. Which sounds to me like the way that we respond to those certain topics that shall not be mentioned in polite company. Our tendency so often is to resist and avoid and try to steer clear of these topics because we're not sure what's going to happen next. What if the reason that we are resisting and avoiding talking about those things is because, among other reasons, they go to the core of who we are, because they touch on some deep truth within us, between us, in our relationships with each other and with God? That is, what if we avoid talking about money or politics or religion, or maybe you're a big Yankees fan, because they are so important to us? What if we avoid talking about them because they matter? And what if, when we avoid talking about them, we are avoiding a conversation about God's presence among us? If God is at the core of who we are, then our core values point to something about God's particular way of loving the world through us. These hard topics matter. So I don't want to mock ancient Israel for trying to avoid the presence of God there at the mountain where God is handing down the Ten Commandments, because I avoid the presence of God as well. I have good reason to avoid God. We all do, right? Because that deep truth, that deep connection with God, can be overwhelming and unpredictable. The Bible is actually more honest about that than we typically are. The Bible presents the presence of God so often with clouds and thunder and bright lights and mythical beasts that point to something really weird and different happening here. And of course, the Bible uses a particular deeply human story to talk about the presence of God among us as well. When God took on human flesh and dwelt among us in a person that we love and we want to spend time with, until we actually do spend time with that person. The story of Jesus sounds great, right? He teaches, he heals, he attracts all kinds of wonderful crowds. He's got grace and joy just sort of radiating from him, and it's wonderful. Until that story turns. And that story turns because we turn it. Every follower of Jesus turns away from him by the end of that story. There's something that we fundamentally cannot stand about God's presence among us. There's something about Jesus that we are not able to stay with, that grace and truth go too deep for us to tolerate. But we are called to bear that presence. We are called to be a priestly people. That's what God called the people to be right there at Mount Sinai, to be a priestly people, to hold God's presence for the sake of the world, which means that we need to be willing to go beyond what polite company prescribes for us to say and do. So we need to be willing to talk about those hard topics in a way that actually honors God's presence in the other, that actually opens us to be transformed by what someone else has to say about where God is in their lives. And so I want to offer some thoughts, some prayers about holding some of these difficult topics with each other. I'll talk here a little bit about politics, but other topics go right there as well. I pray that when we go to those deep topics with each other. I pray that we will recognize that we are entering God's presence, that we are standing on sacred ground with each other. I pray that we will be able to see our values, our deep values, connecting with God's call in our lives and in our neighbors' lives. That's part of why, especially around politics, but around all of these topics, I especially want to listen. I'm not so interested in telling you what I think. I'm more interested in understanding how we think together, how we make sense of God's presence and God's call on our lives together. I'm more interested in the reasons that you have for holding a particular position than I am in the particular position that you happen to hold, because I'm more interested in the way that that connects to your values and your identity and your sense of who God is in the world. I care about what concerns motivate us, what issues direct our steps as we go through the world. I care about how we are responsible to each other, both within and beyond this congregation. I pray that we can all learn how to trust and to respect each other, to tell and to hear the truth that we each bear in the world. I am deeply fed up with the politics of paranoia that we have found ourselves inside for what feels like forever. It probably is. I'm tired of the assumption that the people on the other side of whatever we happen to be talking about hold the position they do for nefarious reasons, because they are up to no good. Now, surely there are people who are up to no good, but far fewer people are up to no good than we might imagine when we're trapped inside that paranoia. If we assume that someone else's ideas are malicious, we may as well assume that God is out to get us, and that if we go anywhere near the mountain, we'll be struck by lightning and then stoned and deserve it. If we imagine that those around us hold the positions that they hold or honor the values that they honor because they understand that's where God is present in their lives, then we can listen. Then we can see the wisdom in our neighbor. Then we can see what God is actually doing in the lives that we share with each other. I pray that we can mimic Jesus' compassion as we share the presence of God together. I pray that we can understand what pain and what hope our neighbor brings to any given conversation. I pray that we can welcome our neighbor without judgment, that we can welcome our neighbor with the understanding that they also bear God's grace into this conversation. I pray that we can practice humility to truly know who we are, to be able to grant where we are likely wrong and where our neighbor might change and transform who we are and how we think. And I do pray that as we come close to each other, that we are transformed. I pray that as we come close to each other, the presence of God that sits there at the core of who each of us are and sits in the between us and our neighbor, I pray that that presence of God changes us, that holy fire burns away our certainty about all of the things that we've known all along and opens us to see God's presence all the more in our neighbor. I believe that's part of what it means to be a holy nation, to be a priestly kingdom, as God names us here at this mountain. I believe that it means that we're called to be a people who are willing to seek God, not just in the places we've always known God was, but to seek God in and with our neighbors. I believe that this transformative humility opens us up to bear witness to Christ's presence in everyone we meet, even and especially where we differ with each other. I believe that we find the presence of God in our neighbor when we gather at this table. Beyond everything that would keep us apart, beyond everything that we might use to separate ourselves from those around us, this table gathers us together. Gathers us together, not because of anything we've done or said or thought or believed, but only because the presence of God calls us here. So I thank God for this table. I thank God for the gospel that this table marks and seals. I thank God for the grace that makes us God's people, set apart to reconcile the world in Jesus' love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.